week's episode of the That's So Cincinnati podcast. I am your host, Burl Love, editor of the Cincinnati Enquirer. With me today is co-host, back again in the hot seat, Casey Sloan. How are you?
I'm doing so well. How are you?
Are you staying warm?
I'm trying.
Winter is here.
It is here, but I'm going to Florida next week, so I'm like escaping it for a little bit.
Oh, that is amazing. Mm-hmm. You know, one of the signs, I'm going to sound like this like old dude homeowner. One of the signs I know that winter's really here is I have this like fish pond,
mm-hmm.
and it has a waterfall. And when it gets a certain, you know, when the temperature drops to a certain level, it's time to take the waterfall out and put in the heated rock so that the ice doesn't freeze over and the fish can't breathe.
Yeah.
And I had to do that in the dark last night because once it gets below 20, that's when it starts to ice over. And anyway, we have like 5 or 6 koi.
How hard was it to do that in the dark?
It was, well, I had some light. It was just cold. Okay. I mean, sticking my hands into like water that's probably like 33 degrees, about to freeze. I didn't know anything about koi until we moved here and there was this pond already there. And my kid was like, we should put fish in it. And it was one of those, well, as long as you help me. And but he, you know, he just likes to.
That's how it goes.
It's my job to take care of this pond. But we had a bunch more, but a big heron came in.
Oh, my gosh.
And ate a bunch of them.
Really
it was very
sad.
Traumatic.
Yeah. Yeah, I bet.
But now the one of the OG ones that we bought small is probably like, I don't know, 14 inches long. It's huge. Yeah, it's fun. But I digress, Casey. I wanted to talk a little bit today about a lot of activity happening downtown, especially around Fountain Square and the what we now call the Convention District in the headlines this week because there is going to be a fee that businesses on a voluntary basis will impose to help pay for the new hotel. And we have some of the best experts on this around with our City Hall reporter, Scott Wortman, and our growth and development reporter, Sydney Franklin, both writing about this a lot. And Sydney especially has done a lot of reporting on just how the progress overall has been in that area. And if you haven't been downtown, it's pretty eye-opening.
It is really cool.
Yeah.
It looks very neat. I haven't been down in person, but I saw Sydney's video.
Yeah.
It's transformed a lot.
We should
it's
walk
really
up
cool.
there. Yeah. So how about we bring Scott and Sydney on and we'll break it down. It is special guest time on the That's So Cincinnati podcast, and with us are two very special guests, people near and dear to my heart.
Aww.
I know. Scott Wortman, our City Hall reporter, Sydney Franklin, our growth, development, real estate, everything happening with 3CDC reporter.
So great to be
That's
here.
That's me.
I know. So you guys have been kind of like, I won't say fused at the hip, but the intersection of your beats is pretty significant because we've had some news this week regarding the convention district. I'll just tee it up that way. And Scott, what came before the city in terms of a vote this week?
And Sydney did some yeoman's work on this, getting this ahead of time. But the council basically just created this district around the convention center to pay for the new convention center hotel that'll be hopefully they're figuring will open up in three years, 2028. About 30 businesses have volunteered to impose a 1% fee to help pay for it.
So give me an example of one of those businesses, like a restaurant.
Is Mita's in that or?
I think it's safe to include all the Salazar restaurant group.
Yeah, it's pretty much every almost all the restaurants and businesses that are in a few block vicinity of the convention center. So.
Yes, this is the formal Fountain District, which that area was renamed like a year or two ago as a special like branding for people to start calling it. We don't have a formal list, Burl, of the restaurants that are adding this fee, but shortly that'll come come out as soon as this.
So if Mita's, if Salazar restaurants are on the list and I go eat at Mita's and I get my bill, because they agreed to it as business owners, there will be a 1% fee charged on top of my whatever I ate, drank.
Yes.
And that money goes into a pool to pay, help pay for the, what, $500 million cost of this hotel?
$536 million. This is a 21-story modern hotel. It's going to be one of the tallest buildings in downtown Cincinnati when it's built, starting construction this month, actually. And it costs a lot of money. And so the people in charge of it, which is 3CDC, and then the developer Portman Holdings from Atlanta, they expect this fee structure to bring in about $1 million annually over the next 30 years. So essentially, this is helping them feed into the total cost of the construction.
And this goes on top of a variety of other funding sources, a big funding stack that also includes state tax credits, state grants, some of the tax increment financing. I hate saying that word because it's just kind of
tax increment financing. Can you explain what a TIF district is
Wonkify that. Oh yeah, I mean I've had this over the last 20 years because that's a favorite tool for a lot of governments. But basically, they create a district boundary, and all the additional tax revenue that new development creates goes into a fund that goes back into infrastructure, at least ideally, to pay for any upgrades, streets, utilities, whatever, in that district. So basically any of the new development, the tax revenue that it generates will help pay for that development.
All right. So it passed?
It passed unanimously. And I was actually
done deal.
It was a bit surprising. Yes, it was a bit surprising. There was really no debate about it. I didn't hear any opposition from businesses, no one on council, which, you know, normally when there's a fee or tax, like somebody, I never see anything unanimous.
Somebody feels obligated to voice the concerns of the taxpayer, or in this case, the restaurant goer.
I think some of that has to do with, I mean, the businesses that volunteered, you know, that signed on for this, they really want the hotel and the convention center to drive business. They see a value in it. They think it's worth it for them. And from the user standpoint, it's not like all of downtown. It's like a section of it. So I don't think it's like widespread enough to really generate the outrage that a lot of times these kind of things do.
No, and I mean, if you're going out to eat at a downtown restaurant, let's say you're dropping $100 at Mita's, your bill is going to be $101.
Yeah, it's a penny on the dollar. So overall, not that much money added to your bill. But some background information, like 3CDC has been thinking about this for a few years now as an option for the hotel financing. This is just a very uncommon form of financing. Like, it does not happen a lot in development. It actually happened at the banks. They use that money for marketing events.
I was going to get into that.
And
yeah.
It's different.
So it's not unheard of, but usually it's the businesses themselves that get together. In the case of the banks, the businesses at the banks wanted to be able to market themselves and take care of some, you know, common areas and some signage and stuff like that. So they got permission, but it was sparked by them themselves. It's not like the city came to them and said, hey, you need to do this. And in this case, this was 3CDC, I guess, that is responsible for, I love that word, the funding stack.
another wonky term.
Yes, they're
unavoidable in these stories.
Yeah. So in the pie chart of funding sources to pay for this new hotel, they must have decided they needed another sliver somewhere. And so they actually, do you know, Scott or Sydney, did they start with like kind of polling the businesses and then once they got support, go to the city, or did they go to the city first?
No, I do believe it starts with the businesses. So again, 28 have signed on at this time to impose the fee, but over the next 30 years, if you will, more businesses can sign on if they want within the boundaries of this district. So it's not like it's only 28. It could expand. So we'll see if anyone else wants to add the fee. I know I was told that some businesses did not agree.
Okay.
And I can say by the time it got to the city level being discussed, the businesses had already signed on. Mm-hmm. So, okay.
So it's just they needed the approval. Yeah. And all right. So let's get less wonky. Okay. This is sort of a good time to talk about just that general, the general progress of that area. Mm-hmm. So if you're not downtown every day like us and you haven't seen the transformation of the convention center, it's a sight to behold. I mean, it is.
Yes.
It is impressive. There's a brand new Cincinnati sign that you can see when you're coming down 75. A little different than the one before. Actually, it's easier to read.
It is. It's bold.
It's very like, it's not like.
The other one was more abstract.
Yes. Yeah. Yes.
This one's just black, I think.
Yeah.
And it's one of the more visible landmarks in the city, you know, uh-huh. that you see off of 75. Like, it just kind of dominates the.
And that plaza, which used to be, what, the Millennium Hotel?
Yes.
Yes, which was the old convention hotel. You know, holding on to its mauve and teal decor to the final moments.
What a mess.
I mean, it's just screamed 80s, right? I had, you know, this was a while back. Like, I had a friend in town for a conference that happened to be in that hotel. And I walked in to, like, have a drink with him. And I looked around that hotel and I was like, oh, my gosh. I just went back into the 80s. It was like, but anyway, we digress. Hotel is gone. The plaza is like open for business. That's where the ice skating rink is.
And that's pretty historic, moving the ice skating rink, because for my entire life growing up here, it was always on Fountain Square. So that's going to be an adjustment, I think, for a lot of natives.
I know. It's a whole block away. Such an adjustment. Such a Cincinnati thing.
I think it's
two
blocks.
You moved the ice skating rink a block away.
Fountain Square
you
is...
You ruined it.
But Fountain... I didn't say... I did not complain. I was not complaining. I'm just saying
that... You sound really old.
That is a bit why I am, kind of. I'm getting there. But I'm not young. But... it's, I mean, you know, it's just Fountain Square is a landmark, and that it's not on Fountain Square with the tree and all that is just, it is noteworthy for
what extends the entertainment area. So all those businesses can get some walk up track. Yeah.
I was not making an editorial comment. I was just simply saying that is a big deal.
Another big deal with that development is closing Elm Street, which has been closed for some time.
That has wrecked my life, Sydney.
It's wrecked mine too, bro. I had to walk around it forever. Yeah. I walk here, you know.
I know.
I have to get to City Hall constantly. I had to go like way around and keep crisscrossing Central Avenue because of the construction.
But now we can walk through it, to be fair.
For those who don't know, for many years, our offices were at 312 Elm. 4 years ago now, we moved a block west to 312 Plum. So if you're going anywhere, like if I'm going up to Music Hall or, you know, I want to go north for any reason, we would just like run up Elm Street. And now you can't do it.
No. Mm-hmm.
You got to cut
really
across
nice.
Fifth. It is beautiful. You got to cut across Fifth. That's, you know, lots of traffic on that street anyway. And then figure out where you're going to turn left to go north. But so, I think it does look nice.
It looks nice. It's the last, I guess, project, if you will, to open in the remodeled convention center district, which of course includes the convention center, which is set to open in January. Finally, we also
and the
have
first event is supposed to be
Reds Fest.
It's back.
It's Reds Fest.
Yeah.
But this all started, you know, with Fountain Square being upgraded quite a long time ago, and then the Foundry Building, which is the old Macy's like department store, was also remodeled as offices with some restaurants. And then the Saks Fifth Avenue building, you guys know what that looked like, very unattractive, is now Paycor's headquarters, as well as a Salazar restaurant.
Yeah,
so
on the ground level, you have Salazar.
Very fancy.
Right across the street from Mita's, Paycor's offices there. Very recently, you've had new restaurants going in that area, the Davidson.
Marigold.
And now Prim, the Josh Huser-owned cocktail bar.
The people behind
fancy.
Ghost Baby.
Yes.
And there is going to be a skywalk again, right?
So there's going to be a skywalk, everyone, that goes from the Sky Bridge, actually, from the convention hotel slash garage next door to it that will connect to the convention center. So, it's a little bit for tourists, but if you ever have a need to walk across, that'll be available to you in 3 years.
All right. Back to the hotel. I believe I read in your story, Sydney, a
700 rooms, and this was quite controversial, Burl. I think we, at large as a city, wanted over 800, I believe. But I think that might have been a bit too expensive for some reason. And the developer behind this hotel has actually bought the Westin off of Fountain Square, and they'll be room blocking some of those floors also for convention goers, which is interesting. They're going to remodel it.
So it's not that downtown we don't have enough hotel rooms. There was just a desire to be competitive, to have like the, you know, beast of a hotel that could handle huge conventions. And now I guess the plan is to say, okay, we got 700 here, and then we can also lock up some other rooms within walking distance.
Well, this kind of also came into play when we were talking about getting the World Cup here and all those big events, that we need a hotel like this in addition to an expanded convention center in order to land those kind of that caliber of events.
I think the consensus, though, is that we just need more hotels in general to continue to bolster tourism and for big events regionally. Yeah, I know that the business community and the hotel community would be happy for more hotel rooms. So not a bad thing. But yeah, the Westin is going to be remodeled, including the lobby, which is
exciting.
That's big
news, yeah.
So stay tuned, Inquirer listeners slash reader. We will be updating you on that when we have more.
All right. You know my high school prom was at the Westin?
I did not know that.
Yeah.
Of course it was.
And, well, yeah. And all of us, like, you know, 17, 18-year-old, maybe 16-year-old, very new drivers, that, you know, lived up in Forest Park, driving downtown for maybe like the first time. Lots of us had no idea how to handle the one-way streets downtown. Like, we all got into that Westin, and everyone was like going, oh my God, I turned left when I couldn't. And it was dramatic. But
driving down one way, just playing chicken.
All these suburban high school kids descending on downtown for a night. It was something to see.
Did everyone get home safely?
As far as I know.
Yeah.
I mean, it's a while back, Scott. So, Sydney, you were talking about the hotel being expensive, but I just did some quick math.
Okay.
So, $500 million, 700
rooms.
That's like less than $1 million per room. I mean, what a bargain.
Oh, gosh. Have mercy.
Well, also, what else do we know about the hotel? It's going to be a Marriott?
Oh, yeah. So sorry. It is going to be a Marriott, which is big news. That was kind of the big question of the year. What flagship brand will this be? So it's going to be Marriott. We don't really have much more details beyond that. Of course, we have fancy renderings if anyone's interested in taking a look. It's nice, and it's in the 4th Street Historic District, so there were some, like, squabbles, if you will. I wouldn't really use that word, but I'm going to use it over what it looks like just because it is in a historic area.
Okay. Well, I appreciate both of you for joining the podcast this week. I think you answered all my questions. I hope you answered as many questions for our listeners
Hopefully
as possible.
Hopefully it was informative.
Yes, just don't freak out. The 1% fee will not start till March.
Oh, that's a good point.
Good point.
At March.
Yes.
Okay. And is it indefinite or is it?
Oh, yeah. It's like 30 years unless the construction loan is paid down, like construction debt.
Okay.
So this is typically how that works. If 3CDC Portman pays it off early, then bye-bye fee, maybe.
All right. Well, we know we have a history here. Once these fees get put in place,
they stay
for a long time.
Okay.
We don't even want to get into the property tax rollback, do we?
Get a pot of coffee on.
All right. Well, Scott, Sydney, thank you.
Thank you
so much.
So, Casey, do you ice skate?
I do enjoy it, but I haven't been probably since I was in middle school.
Well, then you need to go this year.
Yeah, I do, but I'm scared of falling. I'm terrified of falling. I'm going to, like, break a bone or do something.
Or just take it easy. I think you and the trending news team should.
That's exactly what Phil said.
Yeah.
Yeah. He was like,
producer Phil, he's nodding his head back there.
Yeah.
All right. Well, I'm going to officially assign it then because you're, yeah, Phil's celebrating.
I'll wait till David gets back.
No. I, your editor, David, is on paternity leave.
He'll be back soon.
Oh, no. I'm going to take advantage of the leadership void and step in as editors often do. And yes, I want a trending news report on the new ice skating rink with video so Phil can be there. Do you, Phil, do you ice skate? Phil's nodding his head. He's a,
really?
Can you tape backwards?
Yep.
All right. That's the, that is the.
I'll be the cameraman for Phil.
Oh, yeah. I mean, if someone says they can skate and they can't skate backwards, then they really can't skate. I think that's like, if you can execute the little turn and skate backwards, then. All right, I'm impressed, Phil.
I am too.
The only time I skate backwards is when it's purely accidental or I'm trying to stop and I spin around and like there's a little kid coming at me and I'm afraid I'm going to run him over. So I sort of just like keep moving in the opposite direction. And all of a sudden I'm skating backwards. Like,
you
hey,
can't stop. Yeah.
I'm skating backwards now. Didn't plan to. Don't know how to get out of this. But anyway. All right. So I wanted to chat before we wrap things up about your experience at the Stevie Nicks concert at Heritage Bank Arena.
Mm-hmm. It was quite the experience.
Well, okay, first I have to say, I was surprised you even knew who Stevie Nicks is.
What?
Yes.
I'm such an old soul. It's
are
actually
you?
Really crazy.
I mean, you are Gen Z.
Yeah, but I was born in 99, so, I'm like right on the edge. I'm still... I was born November 26th, but I'm still a 90s kid. I still claim
okay.
that.
Okay, you claim that. You claim the 90s.
Mm-hmm.
I respect that. So, I mean, I'm obviously a Stevie Nicks fan as well because I'm of the era. Actually, I mean, she was even like, I would say a little ahead, slightly before my time. Like Fleetwood Mac was huge. I was probably like 10, you know?
Yeah.
But yeah, huge Fleetwood Mac fan. I saw Fleetwood Mac at their like first big reunion tour in the 90s.
That would have been
you
good.
Know, the one that generated those that first concert video where she's basically
her and Lindsay and they're like fighting.
What's that
like
song? Silver
stares.
Spring.
Yeah,
where she's giving him that stare in the middle of Silver Spring. You'll never get away from the sound of the way. Yeah.
So good.
But I haven't seen her solo.
I haven't either. And I was a little nervous just because she is older and her voice did sound older, but she still sounded amazing. Like,
so you
it was
were afraid
still,
maybe she would kind of be a little underwhelming because, yeah.
Yeah, but
she,
it was the complete opposite. Everybody was into it.
Tell
everyone.
Me about that. So, yeah, she carried the room.
Yeah, everybody, I mean, everyone was dressed in lace, the shawls, the hats with the feathers.
Like
everything.
The black top hat kind of
thing.
Yes,
yeah. I was actually stunned by how many people were wearing them.
Was it an older crowd?
It was a good mix. Like there were some people younger than me, like maybe high school students that were there too. Yeah.
Well, she kind of has had I don't say like a second, you know, big jump in popularity. It's probably not that big. But that TikTok video.
Yeah.
TikTok
her sounds.
Song, one of her
songs
became like a staple in early TikTok viral video.
And that helps. It really does. It's helped a lot of artists. But yeah, her concert was amazing. It changed my life.
Okay. So when I, like most of our audience, you know, people ask me, do you read every story that before it goes into the paper? And I'm like, okay, first of all, we have a website too, and we create so much content. There is no way.
No way.
So I didn't even really know that you were going to write. Mm-hmm. And then I saw it because I took some time off over the Thanksgiving break. And so I saw the headline, changed my life. And I have to tell you, I did the eye roll. I'm sorry. I was like, oh, come on. It's just a concert.
No.
But then I remember certain concerts where I felt like, wow, that was just, you know, like, I felt like, I don't know if it changed my life, but what a moment to experience, right? Mm-hmm. So how did it change your life?
In so many ways, but the biggest one, first off, Edge of 17 is my favorite song of all time. If you go back to my college newspaper bio from NKU, it literally says my favorite song is Edge of 17. So not a fake fan over here. But the whole time, I looked at her set list beforehand from other shows that she was doing on this tour. And one of the last songs, it was an encore, was Landslide. And this song, no matter where I am, it is always makes me so emotional, like crying. So we finally get to the end of it and I'm like fully preparing myself and just seeing her perform it live. I was taking video and my hands are literally shaking because I was sobbing so hard. And on top of that, like the back, as she was singing Landslide, pictures of Christine McVie were going behind.
Okay.
And the concert was on the third anniversary of her death. So it was like a lot of emotions I was feeling, and I'm sure Stevie was too, because it was her best friend, you know? So then when I just got back, I was just reveling in all the emotions, and it was, it really did change my life.
I love that, you know? I love live music. I love music. And I love when people get emotional about it, or it touches them, you know, like, because it's so, I don't know.
It is
a special moment.
And Fleetwood Mac is so iconic, and I wish more than anything that I could have seen them in their prime, you know, like, and
yeah,
after Rumors came out.
Yeah.
But that was good enough for me. I will settle.
You know, that might be a fun thing we should ask our listeners, like, to share their, the most emotional moment they had at a concert.
Okay. That'd be a good one.
All right. Well, should we wrap things up?
We shall.
Let's do it. Thank you for listening to this week's episode of the That's So Cincinnati podcast. It is a production of The Enquirer and Cincinnati.com. Our producer today, back in the saddle, Phil Didion.
If you enjoyed the podcast, please subscribe, give us a rating, and share it with a friend who loves all things Cincinnati.
And finally, if you value local journalism, and you should, and haven't subscribed for full digital access to Cincinnati.com, now's a great time. Just go to Cincinnati.com and click on the subscribe button to see a special offer for new subscribers.
Thanks again, and see you next week.